For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
Now, I have a sequel from the lady who walked in and found her husband sitting on the sofa looking at the TV. 2 years went by. She heard me tell that story on my radio program. Then I thought I owed it to you to let you know where I was today after almost 2 years. Well, I started, as you know, already very good, but I did not go much ahead. There were a few problems. One, I didn't know how to treat somebody like Jesus, who is just the opposite of Jesus. Two, I even did not know how to treat the real Jesus as if he were here. Plus, I had my own character flaws like fear, weakness, confusion, lack of courage, shyness, and hunted by my past sins that I thought God could not forgive ever. Despite the above-mentioned problems, I tried to treat my husband the best I could. But after some time, I felt that I give and give and give, and I don't get anything in return. There's that wicked impulse. What about me? What about my needs? So she goes on to say, sometimes it worked, and sometimes it did. Most times it didn't. The harder I tried, the situation became worse. We did not fight. Instead, there was silence between us that was killing me. Any of you have a husband who kills you with silence? In order to not see his sour face, I tried to stay away from him. He did not seem to be suffering at all. After all, I still gave him dinner and washed and cleaned and earned money and suffered silently rejection, getting more frustrated and angrier until this last winter I started thinking that certainly God doesn't want me to suffer. Or does he? Think about that one. Then one day I had a serious talk with God. I told him my story. Asked him what to do. Stay in this marriage or leave? Just one condition I put. Please don't let the answer be in my head or some kind of hints or whisper in my ear. I need loud and clear answers so I can understand. I am dumb. I waited. 2 days went past. On the radio, I listened to Dr. Dobson describe a woman exactly to the smallest details in my situation. I even thought for a second he was describing me and asked him, should she stay or leave? My ears went up, and I stopped breathing to make sure I heard right. Dr. Palau, Luis Palau, said, stay and pray. Who wants to hear that? I've done enough praying. It's time for me to get out of here. God did it again. I cannot imagine an answer louder or clearer. That day, I listened 3 times to focus on the family just to make sure it was not my imagination. So I stayed and prayed. In my heart, I did not believe that anything would work. Nothing worked so far. Why should this time work? But I obeyed, prayed and prayed and prayed, read my Bible, listened to you in the morning and others. God gave me the words and the thoughts that I needed for that day, and I felt God with me all the time, helping me, supporting me. I sang hymns. I waited silently on the Lord, memorized Bible verses. That helped me to calm down and sleep, because I could not sleep either. So I prayed, Lord, heal my relationship with my husband. 2 years ago, I had prayed that God would heal my marriage and prevent separation. This time, though, instead of working harder and harder, I prayed harder and harder. Finally, God gave me the message. The next step, ask your husband, what would it take for him to love you? So I did. One day, with a low voice, with the usual distance from him, about 5 feet, I put my question to him. What would it take for you to love me? Suddenly, after a pause, he looked at me and exploded with the loudest voice, "Shut up, close your mouth, zip it," and left. I froze. Inside, my heart churned. He had never talked to me like that. I was hurt to the core, but I swallowed my hurt. I was on a mission. I did not ask the question to feel good with the answer. Of course, I wished that that would end all my problems immediately. I needed to know what was not working between us. So I ran his answer through my head again and again. Shut up, close your mouth, zip. And remember, she had asked God for a loud answer. I ran his answer through my head again and again, and to my amazement, I heard tremendous pain in his voice, almost like a cry or pleading. The pain I had not sensed that much, even in myself, ever. So I forgot. I put aside my hurts and started searching and analyzing the source of that pain. It clearly was pointing on my talk. I felt broken. Did I cause so much pain? How could I? So I stopped talking completely and started thinking, only answering him when he asked for something in the shortest way. After all, I was determined to do God's will, whatever it took, forgetting myself, my feelings, and my wants. Still hurting, but I trusted God and received strength from him. After a few months, my husband came closer to me. I guess he felt safer. And I started talking. But this time, the only things I said were praising him and thanking him for the smallest thing that he did. And she puts 5 exclamation points after that. I have just noticed what I wrote. Isn't that how we treat Jesus? Praising him and thanking him for the smallest thing that he did? And I had to go around and around to find it out for myself, and I felt as though I had invented it. Sorry, Elizabeth, I'm a very slow learner, you can see that, but still, this was not the end of the road to happiness. Although I was still doing the right thing, but it did it with resentment and expectation that he would love me. After all, I had worked so hard. Don't I deserve his love? But he did not love me. I was solving my problem my way instead of God's way. I did not stop there. I prayed and prayed and listened to God, to you, to Dr. Dobson, to Chuck Swindoll, and others not mentioning reading the Bible every day, and sang hymns. Then one day the message came, empty yourself. At first, it did not make a whole lot of sense to me, but I worked on it. Consequently, I released myself from the case and let God take care of the relationship. I continued praising and thanking him as an outsider. I was not in charge, but doing my duty the best I could. And I did not expect love, or even if he remembered that I existed. So I became free. I was not worrying, nagging, or wanting anything. I did not care. It was not my business anymore. I did my duties at work and home, spent time with my church friends, called my own friends, went to museums, parks, did aerobics, rode bicycles, and became a happy person. My vigor came back, and, she puts a big long dash, my husband fell in love with me. I guess what I had, some people would call attitude. Almighty God in his mercy showed to me my stumbling block and helped me to overcome it. Indeed, to my surprise, after taking my eyes from myself, I found many excellent qualities that my husband had and I had never seen them before. What a shame! I could have had all the past 35 years enjoying my marriage. And then she refers to a little story that I've told many times about my dear Canadian mom, one of my spiritual mothers, Mrs. Cunningham, up in Alberta. And she and I were widowed right about the same time, I in Ecuador and she in Canada. And about 4 years later, we got together, hadn't seen each other for all those years. And we were talking about what it's like to be a widow. And Mom Cunningham said to me, that she was Scottish and she always called me Betty, and it was always Betty Dear. But she looked at me and she said, "Oh, Betty Dear, there are so many things that you think of that you should have done for him, but you didn't do them. And oh, I thought of so many things that I should have said to him, and I never said them. And I said, Lord, why didn't you show me?" And he said, "Because you weren't ready to be shown." I want to be ready to be shown. And Mrs. G, after all that praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, was ready to be shown. The omnipotence of love. Never a question again. What about my needs? How come he doesn't love me as Christ loved the church? What husband in human history has ever loved his wife as Christ loved the church? Of course, the answer is none, because we're sinners, desperately in need of a Savior. Not once back when I was 4 years old and got down on my knees and said, "Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to be my Savior." That's valid. But there isn't a day that goes by that I don't need a Savior. He must save me from myself. Save me from all my sins, including the sin of lovelessness. She says, "But as your friend in Canada said, I was not ready. Today I'm stronger, wiser, freer. My husband loves me and can't have enough of me. We laugh together. We talk together. We are both free individuals who enjoy each other and both feel secure in the Lord. I have an excellent husband, a real man," and that's in all capital letters. "He got a job. He works 70 to 80 hours a week. I thank God for him every day."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.